tapes, and you all know now we are producing this for the body of Christ. I'm going to show these tapes to this camera when I start ministering this book. I just thought the Holy Ghost told me to do this. My camera people didn't tell me to do it, but I'm going to minister from this series today. We're going to do about 8 to 10, maybe 12. I don't know how long. But you take good notes, because we're going to be plowing this morning. And I want you to get into the wealth that God has provided for you, that we can get this gospel preached, but also that you can show God strong in the earth's realm what your Heavenly Father has done for you. If you listen to me, you'll get there. You'll get there. You'll get there. I got a girl. I want to call her girl name. Maybe I don't supposed to call her name. Her mama used to be a member of this church a long time ago. Yeah, her name. What? Charlotte. She's quiet, but she probably, yeah, she's catching a hold of this thing. Yeah, she's catching a hold of it. She got the right spirit. You know, and she's catching a hold of it. She's a giver. And she's a young woman, God rising up. She got to keep doing what she's doing. Keep doing what she's doing. She crossed my heart just now. She's keep, you might not know her, but she keep doing what she's doing. She's sneaking in. She'll give big. Stay quiet. Stay quiet. Amen. I want all y'all to be able to do that. So, Father, I thank you that the crust that's been placed on our heart by unbelieving preachers and denominational churches about money, the thing that they've said to us about money, can be removed, and that we can have the right look on finances, that we may be able to do more things for you, and yet you can give us the desires of our heart in this life, that we may be blessed. I thank you for the Holy Spirit helping me in these messages, that your anointing will fall on this place. And as I speak, you will say things to people that will change their life. One word from you, God, can change a nation. I know about a family, a person, a family, or a household. And I expect your anointing to be in this place in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Open your Bibles to the 36th chapter of Job. We're going to look at Job first this morning. And here's a powerful scripture that I may have never read to you in the aspect of dealing with finances. God has told me to deal with finances. Too many in the body of Christ at this time is broke, downtrodden, trying to get by. Even people who are tithers, and they don't seem to be getting the right financial return on their tithes. People are tithing and they give offering. There are some secrets, or there are some revelations in the Bible, I believe, that God has revealed to this ministry, to me personally as the pastor of this church. And he gave me these words in a supermarket, money coming. Actually, the Lord, in definition, over a protracted period of time, in talking to the Lord about this revelation, about these two prophetical words, in listening to another prophet, I found out that the reason he gave me those words, it was to prepare the church financially for the end time harvest, for the thing that the church has to do. But by the same token, God wants to pour out his blessings upon his children that the Gentiles may see. The Bible talks about that. The scriptures I'm going to point out to you, that the Bible talks about, there is a desire of God to so bless his child that if someone come along and not in the family, they would want to know who family or who child this is. All of that's in the plan and the making of God. We've been held back so long from these truths to their full revelation. When I was in a supermarket, and I'll tell you the story, I was behind a man with an eight pack of beer. I just went down there, had shorts on, went to get some oranges and apples for Carol and I to put in our juicer. This man had an eight pack of beer. He pulled out his wallet and paid for the beer. Well, I saw when he pulled his wallet out that he didn't have no other money, and they give him $2 or $3 back. He turned around and looked at me, and he says, "Money really goes." And so to be courteous, I said, "Yeah, money really goes." Paid for my item, got in the car. When I got in the car, God called me on the carpet. Sam Voice had called me to preach. Sam Voice had told me to stay in Darrow. He'd do it in Darrow. I don't think he lied to me. He was surrounded me with such great people. He said he would do it in Darrow. You never knew. Most of you all never knew anything about no Darrow. But you're sitting here this morning, and you're constantly coming. Well, it proved that God really meant what he said, that he was going to do it here in Darrow. So that same voice told me, when I said, he said, what did you say in that store? I said, well, God, I just, you know, I want to put it on the other man, like, you know, like, you know, Garden of Eden. I just want to say, Lord, I just said what he said. I mean, I had nothing to do with it, you know. But once you adhere to something, you part of it. I said, God, I just said money, go. And when I said go, he didn't let me get go, it's out. Right here in my spirit, like rumbling thunder, money coming. I said, oh, God. And then I was just nervous. I said it again. When I said it again, prosperity began to rise up on me more. And I said it the third time, I knew I was rich. I knew there was no denying to it. I knew that a rich means having a full supply out on a full supply, not worrying about nothing in the money area. I knew it, but I didn't know it was for everybody. I thought it was for me. So I kept it concealed for a while, then went to camp meeting with my dad, Ken D. Hagen, and one evening they asked me to receive the offering. And so I took those words out of my spirit, money coming. I took them out. Lord told me to take them out. I said, all right, I'll take them out, Lord. He said, take them out, and I want you to say that this will be the largest offering in the history of camp meeting on this day. I mean, it was a tube or something. He said, I want you to say that out. I didn't know what he was doing, but what he was doing, he was taking those words and getting confirmation from the prophet.
Yeah.
So I took the words out, and I said, God give me these words, money coming. And I said, it's going to be the largest. I said, the people say, I said, it's going to be the largest offering you ever give in your life. It's going to be the largest offering in the history of camp meeting taken up on this day. And it's a daytime offering. I was talking about a daytime offering the same day. I think it was a Tuesday, whatever day it was. Well, that evening, the prophet said to me, a prophet stood up that night and he said, those words must be coming. Now, see, God got a way to confirm it. He said, those words must have come from God because we received the largest offering that we've received. You know, and then I talked to his grandson. He told me, he said, man, that was a large offering. So that was a confirmation of the word. Then in camp meeting, my wife and I, we've come to be known some. We're going to get in the word, come to be known some. But the people out in television audience need to hear this and need to understand this is not something just was figured up in my mind to come. I really could do without it, per se, because, you know, you already got enough critics. You know, Jesus said, blessed are they are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And I think this money is a righteousness' sake.
That's right.
That the body of Christ hear this message. So, lady walked up to me. Lady said, her brother Tom, you got a book on money coming? I said, Lord, I ain't got no book on money coming. Then I walked a few more steps. Somebody else stopped me. We need some material on money coming. So I said this. I said, if I had somebody to write my book like Kenneth Hagin has, boy, maybe I can do something. My wife and I went out the greatest that night. We in Tulsa. Right after I said that day, I said it that day. Mm-hmm. You better watch what you say.
Yeah.
I said it that day. We went out the greatest to eat that night, and we walk in the foyer of Grady, this tall white girl. She said, hi, I'm your home girl. I said, she said, I was out last Thanksgiving. I came to your church, but you didn't have no church. She said, but I'm coming back. She said, my name, Becky. It's the name Becky, right, Bruce? Becky. And she says, Brother Leroy, I do all Brother Hagin books. My knees, Frank, got weak. You know, I said, yes, ma'am. She said, and a matter of fact, I'm your home girl. If you got any book you want to do, I'll take care of yours for you. She said, this is my husband. He over all the publication for Rama. He willing to help you too. And from there we got in contact, Bruce and I, we got in contact, and that's where this book, Money Cometh to the Body of Christ, came from. Now within the context of this book is not the configuration of a man's mind. What camera I'm supposed to turn to, please? Thank you. That's the one I had supposed to turn to at first. No, that's the one I was supposed to turn to at first. Amen? Amen. God gave me a good wife, too. Look, she there. So this book, I think it's 16 chapters, came out of that episode of God wanting to get to the body of Christ in his end time. You've heard a lot about prosperity. We get reports from all over the United States of America and foreign countries. Matter of fact, they've asked me to translate into other languages. I've given them permission. I've had letters come in. I've had people personally talk to me about hundreds of how this book has changed their lives. Many of them had stopped tithing because they wasn't seeing any fruition in it. And some secret in this book revealed to them how the devil was stealing their tithe money. And so it's very simple. It has subjects in here such as what to do until the money arrives, until the prosperity arrives. Yeah. Some things that stop money from coming to you. And it also reveals that money is not evil. And that money has no spirit. It take on the spirit of the person who has it. And if that's so, we should have it. So it can take on kingdom of God spirit. You need to get this book in your hand. Also, in a process of time through a revival, I came back home. I said, well, honey, I better do some teaching on this. And these 16 tapes came out of that teaching. I said I was going to teach on it on Sunday morning like I'm doing this morning, and I was going to teach on it on Wednesday night. Well, we kicked off that Sunday morning. We didn't quit until 16 days later. Amen. Matter of fact, we called in to other states. Guys flew in just to be in that meeting. We call it a prosperity revival. Within the context of this package of 16 tapes, you get your hand on these tapes, and it will revolutionize your finances. Because it's God, it's just simple truth, just plain old broken English. It'd be a blessing to you. Get your hand on it. Amen?
Amen.
Now, in this scripture that I'm about to read to you, my brothers and sisters, I want you to get this scripture in your spirit in Job 36, because this will be a key scripture. I think we put your finger there. I think we should read. Let's go to the. Let's wait a minute. I want you to see something else first. Go to Psalm first. And keep your finger there, because I want you to see. And I'm going very slow on this so we can get it. Okay.
Amen.
Turn to Psalm 35. Because it's going to make the scripture in Job more vivid to you. Psalm 35, verse 27. We're actually talking about this morning, money cometh unto the body of Christ. Say it.
Money cometh to the body of Christ.
Say, I'm a part of the body.
I'm a part of the body.
Therefore
money
cometh
unto me.
Now.
Now.
I want you to see this in Psalm 35, 27. I want to break this scripture loose. We need to get this thing loose if it's going to be of any benefit to us. In Psalm 35, verse 27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad. Shout for joy. That's what we did just now. You see?
Amen.
Shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous call. Yeah. Let them say continuously, let the Lord be magnified. Now, this is what you need to underline, the latter part of it. I want you to underline this. Which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. See what it said? Another translation says, when he says, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant, he says, who delight in the well-being of his servant. It turned God on when he see one of his children blessed. It turned God on when he see one of his children dress right. It turned him on, man. He said, that's my child. I blessed her. Turn him on. You want to know something? Turn God on. Start living big. After you live right, start living big. And turn God on, man. Now, I broke this verse down for you. I want to talk about a few things out of this verse. I want you to note a few things. Notice shouting for joy and being glad. Really, broke folks can't do that to his fullness. They can't really do it like it should be done. People who know God as he really is and let God permit God to move in their life, they can shout, boy. They can shout and they can be glad. I'm glad my phone is not ringing every 15 minutes on Monday. I'm glad I don't have to hide behind a door and tell my little boy, tell him I'm not here. Had a man, boy, called him McGee Man. That'll date some of y'all, you know. They used to come sell your furniture on the road. Come to your house, the McGee Man. He'd bring the furniture and show it to you. You buy the furniture from the McGee Man. But every month, the McGee Man come back to the door and ask about his furniture. I'm dating some people. How many of y'all remember the McGee Man? I want you to notice the shouting for joy and being glad. Then the Spirit of God wants. And see, now, some of the most saddest days you have ever had in your life is a day that you needed to do something financially and couldn't do it. One of the most saddest days, you saw something you lack and went, sign up for it, and the man said, if you can find $2,000 more somewhere, sir, I could help you. That was a sad day. It's a sad day. You go out and look at a beautiful home, and all your family go play in the room, and you said, man, this is the house for me and my folk. And you sign the paper. And the man says, you need $9,000 more. Now, you already get $15,000. You're a creep. I mean, you've done everything you can. The man says, I need $9,000 more. You look at your wife and say, ain't no way, no. Whoa! We can find $9,000. Wife, look at you and say, that's all that's been like that all the time. I know that's what you're going to tell me. One of the greatest causes of divorce is a money problem. One of the greatest causes. If you look, if you search record and find out what one of the greatest fusses that husband and wife have, it is about money. This society, I know I'm finna hit somebody, but this society so much is talking about my money and your money, married people. Now, this is foolishness. God can't bless disagreement. It's us money. You understand that, I bet you. This is us money. No matter how little my wife and I have had, no matter how much we have now, we always knew. Each other knew. And matter of fact, you people need to think about writing a will out. You need to write a will out. I don't care if you got little access, you need to write a will out so the government can't, or the town or the city can't find out what you're going to do with your stuff. You don't want no strange executed, how you say that word? No, it's not executive. You don't want no strange pushing over your money. Now, here's something else. Now, if you didn't qualify with the joy and the gladness, see, can you qualify for what this verse is saying here? He said, it is for those who favor my righteous cause. See, can you qualify? Can you qualify? Yeah. You're in favor of God's righteous cause, aren't you? Yeah. So he says, if you can't go with the shouting and being glad, he says, for those who favor my righteous cause. Whatever I'm talking about is for those who favor my righteous cause. Say, that's me.
That's me.
I do favor his righteous cause.
I do favor his righteous cause.
Therefore, I'm qualifying.
Therefore, I'm qualifying.
All right. Not only did he say that, with thy mouth, the Lord must be magnified continuously. Yes, yes. With thy mouth, the Lord must be magnified continuously. That's what that verse is saying. Let the Lord be magnified. See, we're talking about qualification for this latter part of this verse. There are some things that little verse is congealed with a lot of qualification. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to be glad. He wants you to favor his righteous cause. And he wants you to be magnifying him with your mouth. How many of y'all see that in that verse? Here's what I pick some things out. It is revealed in this verse that God has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God has what?
Pleasure
in the prosperity of his servant. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Because I'm going to say some things right now. I'm going to rock your boat. You're going to have to understand this. If God have pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Now, the Holy Ghost showed me this. Notice he says, it says servant and not servants. So whether you want it or not, that other person still can be in that pleasure. The Holy Ghost showed me that. He said, notice God made this an individual thing. He said he had pleasure in the prosperity of one. Or two, well, how many numbers be? He said, I have pleasure in the prosperity of my servant. And you know all of them not going to get it. So he couldn't put them all in together. So he said, my servant. So he took us individually. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good now. I'm going to show you how to do this through the scripture. Now, some of y'all are going to get saved today. A lot of y'all get baptized with the Holy Ghost. Many of y'all going to become a part of a good church today.
Amen.
I just believe that. I have my faith out for that. I'm not preaching bad news. I'm preaching the good news. Now, notice this also. I just want to get this verse so when you get to the next verse, you're going to see it clearly. You got it. It says servant, right? You must make, listen. Now, boy, this will sound sacrilegious. And you say, oh, man, I'm in church now. Man. You must make prosperity a priority in your life. Understand? You make it a priority. You see, because most of us have been taught to make it not a major part of our life, a minority part of our life. You know, let's go ahead and serve God now. But if prosperity pleased God, and you want to please God,
amen,
you will have to make it a priority in your life to walk in prosperity.
Amen.
One of the things you got to do is forget about your natural heritage. Your family member, because you get to watching them, you're not going to only be broke, you're going to have brokenness. Go where you can get it and go back and get your family. I mean, Roy ain't never wore no necktie and stuff like that. Man, Roy, I was with Roy the other day. I said, man, Roy, we got a better necktie than I got. I got to watch this boy. Man, this boy dressing sharp. I know Bunny's doing it, you know.
Yeah.
Roy ain't used to dress like this, man, but all of a sudden, him and Charles, they come out here, man. Like they're born again, man. But see, the richness, they've been hanging around richness and the word, rich word. So they don't want no old dry, dead necktie saying, put me to sleep. I tell you, the spirit of the man or person who you hang around, that's the kind of spirit that come off on you, if you let it. Here's another thing. This is personal. Prosperity is personal with God. That's heavy, isn't it? Prosperity is personal with God. It's not no little side trip. It's personal because he has a mandate with destiny.
Yeah.
That your prosperity will determine how fast that mandate can come to pass.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Man, it's a sin to be broke and stay broke.
Yeah.
You're out of the will of God. Nobody in their right mind, got a half of mind, a quarter of a mind, want to be broke. An eighth of a mind.
Yeah.
1/16 of a mind.
Amen.
Want to be broke, man. You don't want to be broke. Anybody want to be broke?
No.
Let me cast that devil out of you, man. That's a demon. This is why I say, I'm satisfied. I'm doing all right. Baby, we're not talking about you.
Amen.
We're talking about this bigger than you. This is the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Glory.
Now, if he has pledge in the prosperity of his servant, how much more pleasure he will have in the prosperity of his son.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Aren't you sons and daughters of God?
Yes. Yes.
Servants in the Old Testament didn't have what we have. They were not in the family of God. They were not born again. They had a promissory note. And if God had pleasure in the prosperity of his servant, and his servant can't touch me, I am a son.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you know Job was a servant?
Yes.
Do you know Abram, better known as Abraham, was a servant?
Yes.
You better read about him.
Yes.
Those servants were blessed. They wore the name of the Lord. You know the servants outdid the sons? And yeah. You don't hear nobody talking about no Jobs in this life, serving, I mean, you know, children of God. You know, no, what have happened is, any one of us get a little something, the devil said, hide it, quick.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Goodness. Don't talk about it. Hide it.
Yeah.
Hide it. But you notice in the Bible, they were open with it.
That's right.
Job, Abraham. Abraham didn't hide his money.
Amen.
Didn't hide his gold.
That's right.
See, there's some things we've been taught, and God not going to give it to you to hide it. You better write that down.
Amen.
You better quit hiding them few dollars you got so you can get some more dollars. I ain't giving on no more project. You think I'm stupid? Yeah, I do. For thinking like that. You don't understand the principle.
Amen.
If he had pleasure in the prosperity of his servant, how much more pleasure would he have in the prosperity of his son? Now, buckle your seatbelt. Click it on and put it a little tight. This verse we just read reveals that God is displeased with the poverty of his children. Come on now. It reveals that God is, when you broke, God is displeased because you are some way, somehow misinterpreting the scripture. Are you failing to abide in the word? Because if you do so, you can't stay broke. See, this Bible is more than a holy jerk. This Bible is facts from the factory. It's facts from the factory. God have laid out how he want his children to live. He have laid out what he wants them to do in his end time harvest. He have laid out that he want them to be able to preach the gospel to the four corners. Go ye in all the world and preach the. How you gonna go? On bicycle? I know they got that battery talking about going. You on that bicycle and you move your leg, you're gonna be stop. So you need to get this gospel out. Come on now.
Amen.
So God is upset if he could be upset. You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to use something. You know, you're so God, so big. But he don't like it when you broke. Because you're saying, my daddy really don't care about me. Or you're saying, my daddy really didn't tell me how to do this. Or you're saying, my daddy didn't give me nothing. Come on now. Don't shout, but I'm preaching good. See, you have to see these things because we have to tear down all that other old stuff we've been taught in the church about money is evil and all that stuff. I just want to clear that up right now before I show you the major voice. Go ahead to Timothy. We got to go look at it. Turn to Timothy in Proverbs 10. Timothy, what is it? First Timothy or Second Timothy? Let's see. First Timothy? I don't know. Just turn to Timothy. First Timothy. If I show it to you, would you eat it?
Yes.
It's in the Word. It's in the Word. It's in the Word. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. This is a certain denomination benediction on the children of God. I said, yeah, it is. This is a certain denomination benediction on the children of God, and that's why some of them broke. Verse 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Now notice what it didn't say. I want to repeat this. Notice it didn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money. Now I know, you see a person blessed, say, boy, they love money. I know some broke folks that love money.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, broke folk love money more than folk with money. Because
yeah.
Broke folk are always looking for some money. You can feel them when they get by you. I wonder if they're going to give me something. That old spirit. They might trap a little story on you, you know. Say, the Lord going to make a way somehow. My electric bill not paid, but the Lord going to make a way somehow. I said, well, I'm not the Lord, baby. One of them holy hints. You're your brother keeper. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some, I want you to underline this word, coveted. And I want you to think about another word, covenant. I want you to think about that. When you see that word covenant, I want you to think about the word covenant. We don't have to covet because we have a covenant. We are, I love it, thank you, Holy Spirit. We are in partnership with the Almighty God. And when you are in a company and you are in partnership with that company, whatever that company have or increase coming in that company, it belongs to you.
Amen.
So it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after. What I said, the prophetic word was? Two words.
Money.
What was it?
Money cometh.
Did it ever say go after money?
No.
What it said?
Money cometh.
Is there a difference between money cometh and going after money?
Yes.
That's why God gave that word. Wonder why God didn't give me a word, go after money. God said money will find you.
Hallelujah.
If you do what I tell you to do.
Yeah.
Money cometh. I was riding on an airplane with some guys that was kind of dark in there. And I was just about to take a nod to sleep, you know, about to go to sleep. All of a sudden I felt my hand enlarging. Now I'm asleep, I'm about to go to sleep. Minding my own business. My hand started enlarging. Somebody had slipped some money in my hand. In the airplane, trying to sleep. Say, wake up, boy, I'm trying to get some money to you. Somebody say, that never happened to me. Well, keep listening to me, baby. It's going to happen to you. You can get all the little critical spirit out of you while I'm preaching, you'll be able to get it. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. That's another thing you're scared now. Man, I believe we're going too far with this money stuff. I believe we need to talk about the Holy Ghost some more. I believe we need to talk about the love. Man, I'm scared. Man, pastor talk about that money, man. That's all he talk about sound like. Man, I'm not going with all that. I'm telling you right now, I'm just going to sit there and act like it, but I ain't going with all that. I love Jesus, me. That happened. You know, people say, man, I'm scared, man. You're talking about that money, man. Look at him. Something got a hold of him, man. I won't cast that devil out of my pastor, man. That's a demon. You want to find a demon, check on the inside. Check your back. Because he won't hold this thing back. That's the old spirit that try to come over people. Especially in a deprived area like this of the Word of God. Louisiana with its old racist self. Old prejudice Louisiana with its prejudice self. Don't want the body of Christ to know about these revelations. The big want to stay big and keep the small small. I ain't erring from no faith. I'm trying to get in the faith. You probably erring from the faith with your broke self. If you was in faith, you couldn't be broke.
Amen.
Now, I want you to see the last part. Read the last part with me. And Pierce, come on. Read it. Read it three times. Go ahead.
And pierced
read it again.
And pierced himself through many stones.
Read it again.
And pierced himself.
What did he say?
And pierced himself.
I can't hear you.
And pierced himself through many
sorrows. They pierced themselves through many sorrows because they're going after that money, right?
Yeah.
Read it again. And pierced themselves. Turn to Proverb 10. I'm glad you read that.
Hallelujah.
You see this. See this. Ooh, this is the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We got to pull a lever here.
Yes.
People in television land need to know how to pull this lever. Some of them I'll never get a chance to talk to, but they're going to get it by watching this television broadcast. Money! Coming to me now! Money coming to me now. Money coming to me now. Shout about it.
Money.
And we're going to be doing that throughout this series. If you can't stand it, you're not going to be able to handle it because it's going to get stronger and stronger. I'm telling you, every time I do it, a greater anointing come upon me. Now listen, you in Proverb. You just go, whoo, Jesus. Man, I sense poverty taking a heart attack in you. Poverty is taking a stroke in you right now. Poverty took a stroke in my life. Poverty had a heart attack in my life. Poverty in my life. Now you read that last part in 1 Timothy. First of all, I'll let you read this verse. Because they're going to sell it. Back to 1 Timothy and read that last part. And pierce themselves through with many sorrows. I want you to be looking at it. Go back to 1 Timothy 6 and 10. Don't act like you don't know where you are. Read that last part. And pierce themselves
through with many sorrows.
Turn to Proverbs 10 now. Look at this 22nd verse. Look at the 22nd verse I said.
Huh?
Come on, y'all got a Bible. See? 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 See the Lord? The Lord name is blessed. See the Lord? All the Lord characteristic is blessed. Why do you think they describe heaven for us so clearly and vividly about all this gold and stuff and these 12 pearly gates? Every gate is a big pearl. And I used to hear Dr. Brown talk about it. He can talk about it. Frank, former pastor. And Dr. Brown, he used to talk about that pearl, them pearly gates. gates of prayer. And you down here too broke to stop. Let's on, go in. You got to keep driving because you're too broke to go in. Listen. The blessing, come on, read this. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. It maketh rich. It maketh rich. It maketh rich. Part of the Lord's blessing is being rich. And he added no sorrow with it. Turn back to 1 Timothy. I'm going to show you something else. Turn back to 1 Timothy. I mean, we have misused this Bible. We have misused the will of God. When you misuse the Bible, you misuse the will of God. Go back to Timothy. Once you see something else. Man, this is good stuff. Oh, Jesus. I want you to feast your eyes on 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. How you going to enjoy yourself, bro? Amen. See, I pray. Look, man, I pray too, but sometimes I won't get up. Amen. I'm going to read the word. I read the word too. But sometimes I won't take me a little ride. Amen. You were a child. I told me that. I should have told you the other Sunday. I looked at you and you had nobody had told me. I knew it. I should have spoke out. Sometimes I hold it. You were sitting right over here. And the Spirit of God said, with child. And I didn't say nothing to you. When I got home, my wife told me you were with child. I said, I'm going to open my mouth the next time. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trusting uncertain riches, but in the living God. Doopy doo doo doo. I think I'll never sing the blues no more. Now, something is extremely wrong if God had this put in the Bible and it's not right. He says, right here, charge them that rich in this world that they be not high minded. Got it, God. No trust. I got it. Don't trust. All right, I won't. But tell them, trust in me. I do, God. Who giveth us richly all things to what? Enjoy yourself, child. That's what the Lord saying. Wait a minute. Listen. Look who gave it to you. Charge them that are rich in the world, that they be not high minded, nor trusting in certain riches. Now, here's the subject. But in the living God. But in the living God goes over into the rest of that verse. That's what we're talking about. But the living God who giveth us richly. Notice it didn't say the gifts of the Spirit. Notice you didn't say faith. Notice you didn't say the fruit of the Spirit. Which are included. But he said all things to enjoy. I repeat myself, you can't enjoy yourself broke. I was in Atlanta, Georgia when I tried this suit on. And the ladies give me the figure on this suit. I like the way that suit fitted me. You see how it fit? I said, put it in the bag. I'm going to preach out of this suit.
Yeah.
It looked like Smith Wigglesworth's suit. That's the kind Smith used to wear, you know. Yeah. You watch, you see any picture of Smith Wigglesworth, he had the, I said, in a stripe. I said, give me that suit. I said, I'll take it. Suppose if I couldn't get this suit, I'd have left out this store sad.
Yeah.
Had to leave it in Georgia.
Yeah.
But because I know he gives me all things to enjoy, and so Dr. Ripley got connection. So the man said, I think he had to do the cuff. He said, I can get the suit ready for you this afternoon, Dr. Thompson. I said, fine, you know, because I had my suit I was going to wear at the meeting at night. So Dr. Ripley came a little early. Dr. Ripley had me in some kind of suite too, man. I couldn't find myself. Man, that was a big old place. And Carolyn wasn't with me. I was looking for Carolyn in that place. Man, I said, my God. I told him I couldn't by myself. Man, I had three rooms. Couldn't have. Fruit and every room, man. But anyway, Dr. Ripley knocked on my door that evening prior to leaving for the service. And I had my little other suit I was going to wear, you know. Rip was sharp. He had his button on. He said, hey, your suit. I walked back to the bed. I told him, I said, I'm taking this thing off. I'm putting this suit on. And I tell you, you know the Holy Ghost was satisfied with this suit. The glory fell out of it. I tell you what, listen. When you dress right, preachers. When a preacher dress right, he preach better. Your dress put confidence. You're going to look for a job. You better dress right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
To enjoy. Fix your mouth. To enjoy. Say, child, God want me to enjoy myself.
Child, God want me to enjoy myself.
How many of y'all are okay with that?
Yeah.
All right, now turn to Job. See, if you're thinking wrong, your speaking will be wrong. If you're thinking wrong and your speaking be wrong, what you get gonna be wrong. If you're thinking wrong, you're speaking wrong, and what you get is wrong, your life gonna be wrong. Are you following me?
Yes.
Now, who is this for? This is for every child of God who catch a hold of this message, catch a hold of this revelation, money cometh, begin to say it, begin to write it on your checks, right above where you sign your name. Money comes. The reason he wants you to write money comes on your check, he told me, I was in Houston, Texas. He told me, he says, no, I wasn't in Houston. I was in Columbus, right?
Columbia, South Carolina.
Columbus, South Carolina, preaching. And God said, you tell the body of Christ to write on every check they write out, right above where they sign their name, write the words money cometh. And he said, there's going to come a time. Well, first of all, he said, every teller.
Amen.
Yes.
Every teller that handles Ray check, he write in the sign, Ray follow, and write right on above it, money cometh. Every teller that handles check said, money cometh,
right.
Ray follow.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord told me that.
Yes.
And then he says, in all over the world one day, in every part of the world, there's going to be a child of God who've got to hold this revelation. And all over the world at one time, somebody going to have one of our check, and they're going to say money cometh to that believer, and he said it's going to be a great rollover and transfer of the wealth that day. So visitors, that's word you should right there. You take those prophetical words, get a hold of these tapes. Bookstores are not open, but if you, I don't know, I got a kid up in the trunk of my, back of my Land Cruiser, and if you got to have them, Bruce them or break them out. If enough people ask you for them, just break them out and let them go. You need to get this book. You got to be out of your mind. You have to come from Plum Nelly not to read this book. I'm telling you, I'm not talking about the author. The author, Lord, I'm talking about the material. And you got members that haven't read this book. We got members that don't even have this book in the library. They think about what it is, $13 something now. They could have got it from the beginning, what it was. It's going up. Don't ask for no discount. These books don't give no discount. This kind of book here, no discount.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, man. Take this book. Read that book. Read it. Read it. Look, church, I believe because some of y'all haven't read the book, y'all holding some of us up. Y'all too lazy. You're too tight and you're too lazy. Buy the doggone book. If you just cry, I'll give it to you. Get the book. Read the book. Don't let people all over the world get the revelation and you sit there and Daryl. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Lady shucked that book in my face right and said, I read it the fourth time. I'm going over the fifth time. And I saw it. That back was war for that book. And I said, that's Leroy. That's our pastor. Look at him. I got the revelation. You ain't got nothing. Read the book.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and tell him, read the book.
Read the book.
Now.
Now.
Well, I'm not going to cover much territory today. I mean, but as I talk, as I speak, God begin to tell me other things. You understand? So Virginia got to even get take notes on this now. Got to go all over get some things, you know. But in Job 36, this is so, I mean, this verse is so beautiful. It's wonderful. I might start singing my song. Wonderful. He's so wonderful. I get the anointing for it. I would sing it, you know. I can't sing it in that room.
Come on.
In Job 36, and I want you to read this verse with all of the intellect, spirituality, reality, truth. Oh, my, you just got to see this. Look at me. Look up here. You just got to see this, my brother and sister. This is for you. It's terrible living from paycheck to paycheck. It is terrible to almost get in a wreck trying to get to the bank to get there before that check gets there. Gotta get that 4-2. After 2, it's going another day. I've been there, man. Man, I run over somebody, gotta get to that bank, man. I'm checking. I think they bought $15, not none sufficient no more. No, about 20? Jesus. You see, when you see them people driving fast in the bank, they get out their way. Some people try to get, help them people save that $20, $40. Get your car the way you see them people blowing, they panic when they in line and blow. Blah, 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 blah. So I said, I just want to make another circuit and let this point up here. Man, they try to get there for that check, get there, man. Don't let it be quarter to two. Blah, 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 blah. What's the matter with you? You see them jump out their car and run to the window. That 4-2 deposit. You got to make that 4-2 deposit. Don't send your children out there. You'll get run over. All of y'all, most of y'all know what I'm talking about. I've been there. I had to get to that bank, boy. You better get on the side. Then you get one of them dragon tellers. So God, right up here, God, it's almost 2 o'clock. What's the matter with you? Write this thing in you. You got time to drink no coffee, you know? What they call me? I got 4 bad checks. That's $80, right? You imagine this going all over the world? Right, God, right. I know none of y'all never had. And boy, they write that NSF big on a check. And they put it in red and stamp it. I know I got some of them in my closet. Shoo. Then some of y'all look at NSF, what NSF? I got money coming on my check. Why don't I have NSF? NSF mean not seen, I can't find it.
I'm gonna do better, Todd. Been looking for it, but I can't find it. Ooh, Jesus. We coming out.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
God really wants you in a place where at time you don't have time for 2 or 3 weeks. You don't even have to keep up with your checkbook. Mm-hmm. For 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, if you're busy, you don't even have to add it up. Just keep writing. That's how God really wants you. That's God, Ron. That's how big God is. He don't want you to be thinking every 2 days. What you wrote? Don't write no more. I tell you, reality drop in your lap, doesn't it? That's why I like to preach reality. Now, we're going to close with this verse. And I want you to soak this verse, because I'm going to read this verse every Sunday if I can. 36 and 11. Boy, this thing is heavy. Mark that. You got a yellow, red? My microphone going off or scratching? It's going off and on, not on this tape.
Hallelujah. This tape is going out, whether the microphone cam off, jumping my socks, this tape going out. So Sydney, you have to do what you got to do, God. If they, how many got 36 and 11? Joel, listen to this voice, church. Listen to this, listen. If they obey and serve him, oh, I won't cry, man. I tell you, I won't cry, laugh, run. You see that saying? Look what it says. I mean, you don't need no preacher to interpret this for you. If they obey and serve him, they shall is one of the strongest words in the English dialect. I look share up. And before the series over, I'm going to give you some definition of shall.
Yeah.
They shall spend their day in prosperity.
Yeah.
And their years. I see you, boy. You're enjoying that, ain't you? In pleasure.
Yeah.
Now listen now. I don't know about you all. I'm going to tell y'all a fact now. You can claim as you want, but this is my verse. This is Leroy, my name written on this verse. This ministry, Word of Life Christian Center, is written in this verse. You understand me? 1918. I can't tell it. Japanese Street. Almost told my address. But my name, my address is in this verse too. Because I'm obeying it. Listen. Oh, my goodness. Isaiah 1 and 19 says, if you be obedient, willing and obedient, the man said you'll eat the good of the land. I'll just read it again. See, then the 12th verse warned you. But they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. Will die without knowledge of what should be rightfully theirs while they're here.
That's right. My man.
You know, you congregation down there, oh, well, hallelujah. Glory to God. Stand on your feet.